Hey guys, you're listening to the Gen Pop Podcast with me, your host, Larry Doyle. Where each week, I'm going to bring in friends, guests, and experts to help enhance your health, fitness, and wellness journeys. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversations. So I've got the pleasure of being joined today by Eoin Sheehan from Country Munch. Eoin, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm one of the first few in this podcast too, isn't I?
Yeah, you're some of the privileged few to get into the initial stages of it, but who knows where it's going to go from here, right? But I've known you now from, I think the first introduction I had to Country Munch even, was about 5 years ago at a seminar in Limerick, where you had a couple of bits and pieces at a stall.
I suppose you remember.
Oh, absolutely. I remember a lot of things with it, but I remember you came up and you had these little protein balls, I think they were, and like I was like, geez, this guy's got it together, and a young student, and he was kind of getting his A game together. But now we've seen your evolution throughout the last couple of years, and it's been, especially in the last while, it's been astonishing just to watch the rise, and it's so cool to see that happening from remembering the guy with the little stall. And it's not to belittle it, but it's just the evolution has been fantastic. But if you were to give the 30-second elevator pitch of who Eoin Sheehan is, let them know.
Yeah. Geez, my story of me and you was actually different. I'd forgotten that event. I thought we met someone else. Who is Eoin Sheehan? Eoin Sheehan, I am currently 24 years old. I'm from Limerick. I started Country Munch, which is a meat prep service, when I was 19 years old in college. I was prepping meals for myself. I went through a big weight loss kind of transformation where I lost about 30 kilos through the food that I ate. Being a student, needing money, I started selling the meals to my friends who were in need of meals. 10 meals grew exponentially over time, and now Country Munch, prior to COVID, was doing maybe 600-700 meals a week, nearly going nationwide. So it's a meal prep service from day one to where we are now. The idea is to bring convenience to the person at home, give them back that hour in the day or in the evening if they have kids running around or if they're coming home from work. I always say we don't really sell food, we sell time. We give people back that time in the day for them not to have to cook, or it's always if you don't have the skill set or time, that's where we fill in. And always the ethos and the aim is if I can't physically feed you the Country Munch, I teach you to feed yourself, which is where all the other stuff comes in.
That's awesome too, but you've also been on the TV too, right? I think you left out that piece, so you're a little bit of a celebrity chef at the moment too as well.
Yeah, I'm very lucky, man. I got a break on TV about a year and a half ago. So I cook on Virgin Media on a 6 o'clock show. And I suppose as the business evolutionized, my own brand kind of kicked off. And I always made it very clear to keep them very separate. My brand, Eoin Sheehan, is its own thing. I do a lot of demos and events around the country, the TV stuff, a lot of endorsement stuff, and work with Irish brands, Irish food brands. And then the other side, the other string to the bow is Country Munch, which is the machine, the meal prep service that, you know, has its own systems and stuff in place. And I'm just the face behind it. And I do all the other beats and glam hair and makeup.
And you're a style icon too as well. You didn't. You're leaving out, so you're so honest. You're leaving out all this stuff as well too.
Branching to the catwalk.
But I guess like we were talking about that evolution and where you've come from, having your own journey and your own experience with it too, and you've got some like real in the trenches on both sides from that perspective. So this is where I want to be able to pick your brain today and kind of get into the insights of, you know, what you've experienced and what you've seen coming from your own journey with it all, but then also what you've experienced from the client's perspective and the demands you've kind of seen. And I want to go down the route and talk about some things we feel that people are missing, et cetera, as well. But I guess if we go back to that with your own evolution of what you've seen from, I guess, day one to present in terms of the demands, what would that be?
I think a good place to start there, and the reason I started, when I was in college, I was 18, 19, I was going through that kind of fad diet phase. I was always very heavy in my teens. I played a lot of rugby, so my weight was never really brought to attention. It was, you know, he wasn't overweight. He was good at rugby. And it was just kind of masked. And the better, I was always decent at rugby, so I was never brought to anyone's attention. It was, he needs his weight, blah, blah, blah. I went to college and then, you know, went through these fad diets. You know, I did, you know, low carb, high carb, high protein, keto, all that kind of stuff. Never lasted long. Weight always came back on. And I remember I was sitting out with my grandmother. She used to live on the farm in Palace Kennery. She lived to be 93 years of age. And I remember I had just like failed another diet. And she'd always be quick to the point, be like, geez, aren't you, you've gotten fat again. Like, thanks very much, Mary. But like watching what she did, she was always so healthy, always very quick, always had her wits about her. And she only ever ate the food from her garden. She was nearly, you know, self-sustainable. We live on a farm. We have our own beef. She had her own hens with her eggs. She had a small garden with her potatoes and carrots, whatnot. You know, the odd biscuit with her tea every now and then. It was so simple. But it was, you know, it's what we've lost over the years, is this kind of simplicity, and the basics done right work so well. She didn't know her carb intake or her fat intake. She didn't need to know. And it was kind of seeing that, it opened up in my eyes. I mean, like, you know, I'm stressing over such small details here where, you know, I'm not focused on eating just more veg. I'm focused on getting my ratios right. So that was kind of the premise of when I started Country Munch. It was, you know, wholesome meals. We didn't go into calorie counted meals. We didn't go into very tightly macro based plans. It was, you know, this is a wholesome dinner. There's a ton of veg involved here. We made the sauce, we made the stocks from scratch. Everything is fresh. It's made every day. And that was the ethos and brand. And that's what we've always stuck with. Over the years, obviously trends change and we're constantly keeping up with them and, you know, pleasing the customers and changing what needs. When we started, you know, there wasn't a huge eco-conscious community there. And not that it was never, we were against it. It wasn't a thing at the start. The plastic containers were cheap. We used them over the last few years. We're getting constant more text messages about, you know, would you change the eco-packaging XYZ? We've, you know, had a lot more inquiries about vegan, vegetarianism meals, whatnot over the last 2 years, we'll say. So that has been a gradual shift. And I think there has just been a more of a mindset change in that, you know, the good, basic, hearty dinners are far more substantial than a chicken, broccoli and rice pre-portioned meal. And that was always, I was always trying to beat that into people's heads. Even, you know, when we were serving the meals, we'd get inquiries and like, oh, you know, if I just asked for chicken and rice and broccoli, would you do that? And I was like, no, like we don't. At the start, you know, you're trying to please everyone and you're like, okay, grand, I'll do it for you or I'll do it for this person. But, you know, thankfully, I think we found our own audience in the end. And, you know, there are companies out there that do those macro tailored meals, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't our brand. It wasn't why I started. So I suppose, yeah, we've always had that audience and demographic in mind. And it's the cooking that I do. If you were to look at any meals that I make, I'd be wherever I am. It's always comes back to those basics, you know. It's never nothing too fancy, and again, that's just how I started cooking and why I started cooking.
And you see those meals that you're constantly presenting, or whether it's on your own Instagram or whether it's through TV, but they look so appealing, they look so fantastic. But then when you actually look at them in further depth, there's a massive simplicity to it all as well too. And there's that homely, hearty kind of, like your site says, it's like, you know, made by your granny kind of food that just makes you feel content and happy, you know. And there's a lot to be said, and we could go down the whole psychology of food route, but we'll leave that for another day. But like, it has such a massive impact on the joy that people have back from their food, and you're able to kind of give them that from that perspective. And I guess something that we see a lot from our side is that people come in and there's kind of two very distinct camps of people. And one, you have people who are just massively lacking skills, and then you've got people who have got a couple of skills and then they're just massively overcomplicating the whole thing. And where have you seen that coming in? Like, what have you seen from that side of it? Or kind of what, solutions would you have there from that perspective with those people who are coming in just lacking no skills or no confidence in the kitchen? Where would you take those, or what advice would you give?
I nearly hold my hand up there and say, like, when I started, I'm not a culinary trained chef. So like my first few demos and first talks that I did, I would always really try and overcomplicate it just because I had a chip on my shoulder. So I would do these flamboyant dishes and I would use ingredients that you couldn't pronounce, not to mind buying super value. And it just went over people's heads. But it made me look like a good chef. And down the line, I've learned that, you know, it's of no benefit to people. But I think the basics that I see is that three things I always ask people to invest in is a good knife, a good chopping board, and a good seasoning cabinet. And I think once you have those three things and you have the basic knife skills and, you know, a good pot and a good frying pan and a good seasoning rack with, you know, your Asian spices, your Italian spices, your Mexican spices, most of the ingredients you buy then is mutual across the board. So with the demos, what I love to do is I'll have six ingredients and I'm going to say, we're going to make three different dishes. All I have here in front of me is all we're going to use. So we have chicken here, but we're going to season it with our curry powder and our turmeric. We're going to add this, this, and this, make that dish. And then we're going to take that same chicken, raw breast. We're going to use Italian herbs. We're going to make a chicken arrabbiata. And then we're going to take the same pasta, the same herbs, and we'll make an Alfredo. So I think there's this conception that you need to go out and need to spend €100 buying the best pan, buying the best knife, and then spending €8 for a jar of Lloyd Grossman sauce, when realistically you can make that for about 40 cents using your own ingredients. So, you know, looking at your pantry at home, having the stock of those seasonings, having the basics like your chopped tomatoes, and we won't go into the store cupboard essentials, but it's, you know, it's having those basics at home and then having a plan in place, because it's all well and good having that. But if you're given this information and you're giving a recipe the length of my arm with 19 steps and the first instruction is to fillet something, you know, it just, people immediately, they clock out. Whereas if you were to read my recipes, it's usually about 5 steps. The first thing is like to preheat something or just chop it as best you can. And then it's like, do this, add this, make that, leave it simmer, eat. And that's the basics. And it works so well. If you're a trained chef, it can go so much further. But to survive and to make really tasty dishes with minimal ingredients, minimal cooking time, minimal effort, minimal wash up, you know, there's not that much involved.
And I guess it's kind of like, it's like the whole fitness world as well, if you were to draw a comparison, that everyone looks to fitness models and professionals for advice on their training programs, and they end up overcomplicating it and they're doing way too much. And then they go looking for some nutritional advice and either get it from Joe Rogan or they get it from MasterChef. Yeah. And it's like, then it just completely overcomplicates and they get this whole paralysis through analysis of the whole thing. And they think that they have to have this massive pantry and, well, I don't have that, so now I can't make anything. And people really develop this fear, I guess, then as well too of, it's probably an Irish culture thing that people hate waste. And they're like, well, I don't want to waste that food. I don't want to try cook that food in case I burn it or make balls of it. And they get this fear, I guess, as well, too. And there's a lot of these Irish culture kind of factors come into it from that perspective with cooking, too. But again, I guess it's to pull it back to that simplistic approach and to have those kind of core values of, is it what you want, what you like, and probably how your granny used to make? Because that's the food that really makes you feel good and you know, really peps you back up. It's like, you know, traditionally people go get sick and they get like a mother's bowl of soup and it makes them feel better instantly, right? And it's, I think a lot of people are just straying away from that and getting caught in the whole fancy world of needing to go to whatever marketplace and buy like €1,000 worth of pots and pans.
Yeah, of course.
I went through the same decision paralysis. I'm going to use this podcast as an example. I start looking up from our perspective, or from my perspective, I know how to cook. I know how to do fitness. I know how to do all those things, right? So it's kind of easy for us to talk about that in simple terms. But I went to go look up about podcasting gear. And I had such a bloody headache after like 4 seconds, because now there was like 25 different mics and they all have different quality and all have different, then there's different platforms I get to record it on them. And I kind of stepped back and I was like, shit, this is what it's like for someone getting into something new, because I haven't done something new for so long. And I had this paralysis then as well. And I guess that's what happens when people get into cooking for the first time or try to make a stab at it, and they get this paralysis. But how would you calm them back down, or how would you bring them back down to earth with that?
Well, I just to touch on that, and it's one thing I always say is like, cooking is subjective in a way. I can give you the blueprint of this dish. This is how you would go about doing it. And this is, obviously, there's some components that would need to be there to make it a dish. But like, what I'd often get is someone's going to make a curry and they're like, oh, I don't have mushrooms or courgettes. Like, doesn't matter. Use whatever you have. Usually the golden rule, right? What I have is open the bottom of your fridge. Whatever veg need to be used, use them. There is no right and wrong with cooking. And, you know, the blueprint of a curry is, you know, it's your Thai curry paste or your curry seasonings, your sauce of some sort, and then whatever veg to butt that up. So I'm nearly reluctant always when I'm naming out these veg. It's usually you can read some recipes and it's like the vegetables you use, whatever you have, whether it's onions, courgettes, mushrooms, sweet corn, bell peppers, anything at all. And then there's this misconception, like you said there, when people don't have that, or if, like, you'd be amazed if people would message me and be like, I don't have white onion, can I use red onion? And I'm like, listen, use whatever you want. Like, just follow the basic template. Again, there's this, like, it's probably just, it's, you know, lack of practice or lack of education where, like anything else, like, I'm a chemical engineer. I have a degree in chemical engineering. And, like, with science, you're following a formula. You're adding this, you're adding that. And there's not much room to play with there when you're in a chemistry lab. Or when you're baking a cake, I always say baking is a science, cooking is an art. When you're baking, you kind of have to be on the ball. You have to add that baking powder, whatever it is. But with cooking, it's an art form. You know, your curry will taste different to my curry or the Chinese on the road or the other one in wherever it may be. So, you know, I would always ask people to just step back, see the outer bigger blueprint of, okay, these are the things that I kind of need. This is the buffer stuff that I can add in or use what I have. And then, you know, it's to your own personal preference from there on then. So there shouldn't be this massive need to tick all the boxes. It's the bare minimums plus your own personal twist on it.
And this is the thing, like, it's the one of the first things I'll say to a client is, like, can you cook and will or could you learn how to cook? Because it's such an essential life skill that people try to get by, or they'll have their cooking at home first, then they'll go to college and they'll eat pot noodles and chicken breasts or whatever it might be for that 4 years, and then they'll go into the corporate world or wherever they're working, and they'll be living off takeaways, and next thing they're 30 and they don't have a clue what to cook or how to cook or how to even turn on a George Foreman grill, because it's kind of been handed to them from to that degree. And obviously with Country Munchin, the service you provide with that is fantastic. It takes that headache away from people. But at the same time, making something from scratch and having that life skill and actually being able to apply it for life then is a massive skill and a massive tool to have. And it's as essential as driving. It's essential as having language. It's essential as having anything, in my opinion, with that. If you were to start learning, or if you were to get someone with a clean slate who comes to you, and they're wanting to upskill their education for life skills, where would you go then from that perspective with it?
With regards in the kitchen, this is?
Yes, to actually just start cooking.
Yeah. I would always start in the very basics. So I would take, I have these kind of half consultations with people, like, okay, so what foods do you like? So I like chicken. I like salmon. Okay, perfect. Well, for starters, you know, what ways can we cook chicken? We can bake it in the oven. We can fry it in the pan. We can put it in the grill in George Foreman. We can boil it. Okay, so there's four methods. So if you were to only eat chicken this week, you could have it four different ways, which is great already, because we're already getting out of this, I'll learn one dish, I'll have that twice a day, and I'll have that 7 days a week. And then it's a case of, okay, cool, what carbs are we going to use? So, you know, what do you like? I like potatoes. Cool, potatoes. We can mash them, we can boil them, we can roast them, we can chip them in the pan. There's four alternatives to do it. So that's just chicken and potatoes. With your veg, and usually veg is the main one here. It's like, well, I don't really like this or that. So I'll take carrots, for example. So cool, we can boil them, we can mash them, we can roast them, we can puree them, we can pickle them. So, and again, it's getting complex, but it's kind of running through the options, and it's just swapping components in and out. So take your chicken, cool, we're going to fry it this evening with some onions and bell peppers. Tomorrow we're going to do the same cooking principle, we're going to fry it, but we're going to substitute in mince. So you fry your mince and your onions and your peppers and garlic. And then the day after, we'll do a sheet pan dinner. So we're going to put all our veg, all our meats onto a tray, we're going to roast that in the oven. Next day after, we'll do the same, but we'll take out our chicken, we'll put in salmon, and we'll put in a different veg, or put in potato, we're going to roast that. And then the day after, you might have a slow cooker. So we'll get some beef, or we'll get some chicken, or we'll make a soup. So, like, my thing is always, there's so many, like, food is so versatile, and all foods are versatile. And it's just having, it's just knowing. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Once you know you can bake something, you know, the sheet pan dinners are always a great example. I always say that because it's literally just put your food on the sheet, put it into the oven and leave it alone. And it will cook itself.
Come back when it smells good.
and again, that's so interchangeable. You can do that with chicken. You can do that with meatballs. You can do that with fish. And with that comes confidence. So, you know, I would never give that much detail at the first. For the first person to say, cool, here's three chicken recipes. You know, have fun this week. Try them out. They may not work. You might burn it. So be it. At least you tried. Next time you'll know not to cook for 10 minutes and cook for 8 minutes. And then, you know, they'll do one dish and I'll get a four. I'm like, oh my God, that was so easy. And like, yeah, cool. Now, you know, do it again tomorrow, but maybe add in this vegetable or have it with a side of rice or whatever it may be. And that confidence builds up. And it, I think confidence is probably the main thing in the kitchen as well. Again, with stuff like I did a demo yesterday, for example, and we did carbonara and we all cooked it. It was done via Skype and we all made carbonara there and then. And everyone was like, I've always bought the sauce because I never was confident enough to make carbonara. But it's five ingredients. Carbonara is bacon, pasta, eggs, cheese, and black pepper. Five ingredients. And it's so cheap. It's so quick to make. You can do it in less than 5 minutes. But people will pay €8 for a jar of carbonara sauce, or they'll add cream or something like that, you know? And it's just the confidence more so than anything I saw yesterday. They were like, I never backed myself to be able to make it. But once they're shown once, you know, you would hope that that's a skill that's, you know, they'd have for the rest of their life. So it's starting with the absolute basics, building that level of confidence, and then always adding. Like, I'm still adding stuff in the kitchen every day to my own arsenal. You know, I'm still testing out this, or I'll add this in, see what it's like. It's a disaster. Don't tell anyone. We'll do it again tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's
subjective. So you can.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can alternate that as much as you want. It's like you're going to trial something out. It's like, people will ask me, I'm using a slow cooker the whole time, and they'll see me doing, like, what's the recipe for that? I was like, I don't know. It's different every day. I just put different things in. I grab, it's usually the closer rule. Whatever is closer, I'm going to put that in and I'm going to try it out and see how it goes. And like, from that perspective, I don't know how long I cook it for. I don't know how long it's in there. I don't know what temperature it's at. I'm just putting it in, doing what I think is right to a degree, coming back. You can't really mess it up with those from that side of it. And it's like, and I guess with those, that's going to be probably one tool that a lot of people could use. Just to go back to the slow cooker. We're kind of half trademarking it now at the moment with a lot of stuff in it because it's so bloody simple. And people, again, think that it's such a complex thing. It's like, if you're frying or grilling or, you know, roasting something right, you can really burn it, you can crisp it up.
Yeah,
you can,
yeah, yeah.
It's the best way to burn calories, right, is to just put it in the oven and forget about it. But with the slow cooker, I guess that's one that's so easy because I don't think it's possible to actually overcook food in a slow cooker. The longer you leave it in there, the better, right, as well, too. So what advice would you have on slow cooking? Just give me, I guess, a couple of quick sound bites on that.
I'm a big advocate of it, too. Absolutely. And for time preparation, all that kind of stuff, it's the perfect tool to use. So my go-to one would always be a top rib housekeeper's cut. It's cheap. You get a lot out of it. I'm well aware you know what that is. But again, you can take that out, add in your chicken if you like it, if you like your chicken in a slow cooker. It's a different texture. It's not for everyone. But the beef in particular, just put it in, salt, pepper, mixed herbs, a tiny drop of water, leave it alone. Don't touch it. The more you touch it, the worse it'll be. So just leave it alone, put the lid on. If you're going to leave it for a long time, leave it on a low heat. Usually it's great if you can give it probably 2 hours on a high and then drop to a low overnight. But 8, 10, 12, 14 hours, it's only going to get better. There is probably a point of diminishing returns where you're just burning electricity. But again, for what's in it, for the, you know, price proportion that you get out of it, and then the delicious outcome that is the slow cooked beef, it is a no brainer. And you know, that's just one recipe, and you take that slow cooked beef out, and then it's the fun part of, okay, do I take my shredded beef, do I add that to some pasta and tomato sauce to make like a ragu? Do I add it with some, you know, mashed potato to make this kind of creamy mash and slow cooked beef? Do I add it to tortilla wraps to make these fajitas or tacos? So, You know, it's one element, you make the beef, you seal it, and then you could have four different dinners throughout the week with that one beef that was cooked overnight on Sunday. So it's, you know, step by step to consistently add to the beef and consistently add that beef to different dishes that might taste good. And you can use lamb or you could use chicken or whatever it may be. But yeah, for slow cooking, low and slow, long time, less is more.
Yeah, and like when you hear this and kind of listen to it in its purest form, it's so simple for so many of these. And like the opportunities are endless, or the combinations are endless, in terms of you go in and buy three different meats, three different carb sources, 10 different spices, whatever it may be. And now you've got just an endless list of meals, as opposed to, I always eat this meal, this is my meal. You've now got a slight alternative. You've got a slight twist, and you can just slightly deviate away from the path, because we are creatures of habit. And I guess that can be one thing that really holds people back, that because they're afraid to go away from one meal, because I know the macros in this, or I know that this feels good, or I know that this digests well for me, or whatever it may be. But now I guess that you know that, well, okay, this is not going to change the meal so much, and it's going to still have that same texture, it's going to have the same whatever it may be, but just a slightly different taste. And now you've got a lot of tools in your arsenal, and it's just expanding that culinary toolbox that's going to be for life skills as well too. And I think if people can start applying that just that little bit more and just veer off the path, as opposed to like going a complete 360 with the whole thing and you know, overcomplicating it, then it gives them a lot of confidence, it gives them a lot more control, which ultimately, if a lot of people are listening to this, they're probably going to want to have maybe compositional changes or kind of veer towards more health-based goals. It's going to increase adherence then as well too, because now enjoyment has gone up. So there's this double-edged sword that there's so much more to be had from that by just engrossing yourself that little bit more, or kind of giving it that little bit of time. And it's something I always say to people is like, right, could you invest in someone like Owen, who's going to give you some culinary skills? Could we maybe not buy that tub of protein this month, or could we not buy that tub of pre-workout this month? And could you actually spend that on an ebook, or could you spend that on a course for an evening time with Owen? And I know we had this week where Kate was on a Skype course for some cooking with another provider that was going through it. And again, she tried out three or four different meals that she'd never cooked before from scratch. And we had some delicious meals throughout the week. Two of them, she went completely off course and kind of did her own little version because we didn't have the stuff there. But it turned out fantastic as well. But now we've got an idea how to make a new risotto. And she's making an Indian this weekend as well too. And it's absolutely fantastic.
And like even with cooking, like there's such a high level of like a feeling of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if it's for yourself, me personally, I get much more of a kick from feeding someone else. I eat really simple stuff, and like my meals are not as flamboyant as it would be as what I post on Instagram. But if I'm cooking for someone else, then all the stops are being pulled out, and there's, you know, it's that feeling of fulfillment, and it's that life skill, you know, that is so important for everyone, I think, to get a grasp of, whether it's of a very basic level or a high level.
And especially now at the moment, and that's something that we're kind of doing with myself and Kate, for example, because we can't go out for date night, we're now actually taking our time and we're actually cooking something once a week. Each other, we're taking turns, and it's like, well, I done steak last night with some spuds and asparagus, and it was absolutely lovely. But again, she's doing the Indian this weekend, and now we're actually able to put a bit more of a spark back into it, as opposed to just going out, getting a meal, sitting at the restaurant, waiting for a couple of hours. We can just relax and have it at home, and just this far more sense of accomplishment from it as well,
yeah,
too,
because yeah,
I done that, you know, and it was damn tasty. Or now I've learned something as well too, and there's kind of this, there's a lot of instant gratification from it as well too, right? Because it's not like, oh, well, I just went out, got a meal, it was actually whatever. We actually find now when we cook at home, I'm like, I've paid £100 for something very similar to that, but mine is actually nicer. And it's happened so many times. And that's not to say I'm a fantastic chef, but it's like, just, I think the standard of some food when you eat out is not all that great compared to what you can actually make at home when you have. And again, I don't have a clue what I'm doing in the kitchen, but I can make a rough pan of something and it can taste very similar to what I would have on a night out. And there's this real good sense of gratification from that, or kind of you get a lot more, I guess, purpose or meaningfulness from it as well too, when you actually, I made this dish and it's fantastic. But then it transfers from we've done that, but now it's date night and it's adding more quality to the relationship as well too. And it's there's all these other things that have been, I guess, taken away from us now at the moment with the current situations that's going on in the world, that we can add a little bit more spark back into these kind of things from that perspective. And again, that's these life skills that come back into it. So I guess we want to kind of bring this all back around and, you know, be able to, I guess, give some takeaway from it. But if you were to summarize that, Owen, and kind of come back to it, give me three tips for the budding culinary artist that was going to dip their toes into the kitchen for the first time. What would you advise them for?
I love the idea. We touched on it there. It's this concept in my head. What I'm seeing is like this whiteboard, and you have your like sticky magnets. One is chicken, one is beef, one is lamb. And then you have another section of boil, grill, bake, and then you have your veg. And you can just, you know, come into the kitchen and mix and match those magnets. So tonight it's chicken. We're going to grill it. The veg we're using is carrots, and this is this. And you have this kind of system laid out. So I actually love that idea. And you can, it's like a lucky dip. You could get chicken and pull out of a hat. Okay, bacon. We're baking chicken tonight, and we're using this and this. So that's probably the first thing is
Connect Four. I'm just thinking of this Connect Four board.
Put up these little
discs down in with something written on them, and you can. That's tonight's meal. Whoever wins with the Connect Four makes that for dinner.
We do a lot on YouTube, and one of the contests we have it's a segment for a show that we're making, but it's mystery box where the lads will go and get a mystery box of food, so some random stuff. They give it to me live in studio, and I have to make a dish there and then using just what they've given me. So it's like that. So, you know, I can be given, you know, chicken and broccoli and whatever it is, and I have to make a dish or two. But it's, I suppose, the first thing is to become comfortable with all of the options you could do. So become familiar with your kitchen, what you have at home, whether you have a George Foreman or whether you have a slow cooker or a grill and a hob. You know, it's, you know, having the bare essentials of a good knife, a good chopping board, a good pantry of seasonings, your non-stick frying pan or a cast iron, whatever you have, and just become familiar with them. Don't try and cook a master chef dinner on your first night. You know, maybe the first thing is a stir fry, or is just a one pan sheet dinner roasted in the oven, and it's just constantly adding to that. And whether you're feeding yourself or feeding a partner, you know, there is a level of enjoyment and camaraderie and accomplishment then when you do cook a meal for yourself. And I don't think it's until you do it, you won't really realize it. It's very easy to say, oh, it feels great to cook your own dinner. But it really, really does. And even feeding others, there's a really nice sense of achievement there and accomplishment when you're literally feeding the people around you. And it's a very Irish mammy thing to say. I always think of my mother when I say that, because she's just a pure out and out Irish mammy feeder. Anyone comes into the house will get dinner and a slice of apple tart, whether you're hungry or not. And if you don't take it, it'll go home with you.
But I'm immediately smiling now because I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about experiences that I've had previously with that exact Irish mammy scenario where it brings back these memories and it makes you feel really, really good. So again, like that's exactly the thing you're trying to recreate, I guess, from that perspective with the two. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And we're really lucky to be in like a world now where all the resources are at our fingertips. I'm not a trained chef. I learned through YouTube and through practice. And, you know, as bad as it sounds, if I can learn to do it, anyone can. Honestly, I was never a great cook when I was younger. I was able to feed myself. I didn't know portion control. I just cooked loads of pasta and loads of chicken and just eat all of it. But, you know, through time, and obviously I have an interest and a passion in it, so it was more evident for me. But the resources there, whether I'm teaching you or whether anybody else is teaching you, it's all for free. You know, most of the content we give is free, it's be it on YouTube or Instagram. And if it's not me, there's 100 other people doing it. But, you know, you can learn to do the absolute basics or the most complicated dishes. But, you know, YouTube, Google, Instagram, whatever it may be, find the people you like, the people you relate to, and the dishes you like. And, you know, whether you're vegan or vegetarian or whatever it may be, there is someone there for you, and there is someone there that you can relate to, and it will just make sense. But again, you know, that comes with the intention of wanting to learn and wanting to cook. And, you know, seeing the benefit of it. And I'm very confident, you know, the more you start to cook and the more you start to feed yourself, as opposed to, you know, buying these takeaways or buying these pre-made meals, that's what I do, but these the worst versions of pre-made meals.
Yes.
the less you do with that, the more good for yourself. I'm incredibly confident, you know, the more benefits you'll see, not only in your composition, but, you know, cooking for me is nearly meditative. I'm away in the kitchen. I have Italian music playing or a piano playing in the background. I'm in a different zone when I'm cooking. I'm not thinking about anything else. It's enjoyable for me. And there's a whole other level than just eating the food. You know, it's like you said there, it's creating a dish. It's noticing the things you added in. You can taste that. If you add the chili, you eat it, you taste the chili, you're kind of connecting all the dots, and the next time you cook, then you're remembering that and you're adding to it. And, you know, you're adding to your
creating atmosphere as well to go with the food from that perspective too. So, well, I guess if people have made it this far, they're obviously going to be very interested in more that you have to offer and more that you have to give too. So you've recently came out with some ebooks on some recipes, and there was three, if I'm right.
Yeah. So over lockdown, well, I actually had written one full book to publish, and then the world, a pandemic came. So I was like, do you know what? Scratch the book. We broke it into three. So it's three ebooks. Two are completely free. One is One Pot Wonder. So all the meals that you can cook in one pot, you know, less prep, less washing up. One is a veggie and vegetarian one that's completely free. And then the third one is Munch Made Easy. So there's over 20 recipes from starters, mains, desserts, and that's $5.99. So even if you don't want to pay the money, take the free ones. They're all on my website, munchies.com. And again, there's never been a better time to start cooking. We're all at home now. Some of our restaurants are closed. You know, we can't get the food that we might have been able to get before. And, you know, to look at it from an optimistic point of view, we'll never have this time at home in the kitchen again like we do now to learn and for us to have the time to add an extra skill and that value to your life to be able to learn how to cook.
Exactly. And that's something that I've been preaching about a lot of lately, where I want people to take these weeks now as a gift, that you've been given the gift of time, that you've been given the gift to be able to upskill, to add these life skills to it all. And I think from that perspective, with what you've offered there, and I'll be able to put these into the show notes below for people to be able to access them as well too, that I think it's a massive opportunity to really grow and expand your abilities within the kitchen. So from that on, you know, really appreciate you coming on too, but where else can people find you if you want to just drop in your handles for us to be able to reach out and grab you?
Yeah, I suppose Instagram is probably where I'm most active, at Owen Sheehan. I'm there on my Facebook, and if you happen to turn on TV on Virgin Media, I cook in the 6 o'clock show. So I'm everywhere. On YouTube, we have a full YouTube channel where we're doing weekly video recipes. So every week is a new recipe. It's all completely free. We cook it from scratch. And you know, there's some savage recipes up there, and again, it's all tailored to the person who isn't very competent or comfortable in the kitchen. You know, it's the basic scratch, it's minimal ingredients, but you know, the end result are these pretty amazing dishes.
That's absolutely fantastic, and I think there's going to be tons of value for people to be had there. So for me and from everyone else that are going to now expand our culinary skills zone, we want to thank you very much for coming on today. And to
my pleasure, Larry, my pleasure.
There's so many take homes that people are going to just be able to capitalize on from that. So we're looking forward to having more tasty recipes down along the line. Owen, really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, guys. If you make any dishes, please put them online and tag me. I want to see them all. I want to see the recreations.
Send samples as well and I'll test them out. Thanks, man.
Mind yourself.
A massive thank you to Owen for coming on today and sharing so much easily applicable tools that you can implement straight away to your nutrition, to your culinary arts, and to your kitchen, but more so to your life. These are massive life skills. Please, please engross yourself with them. Try them out. Try something new. Let me know how you get on. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, make sure to leave a review, drop some feedback, and share on your social media challenge as well. Thank you so much.